This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have a fantastic guest today, Rocco Esposito, who with his lovely wife, Lisa Peduti, who is not in the studio with us today, run a restaurant in Collingwood called Project 49. They have a cafe and delicatessen in Beechworth, as well as a farm, a winery, and the whole shebang. Welcome to the Escape Hour, Rocco. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Fiona. Thank you.
So I was dining at your establishment in Collingwood the other day, and I loved it so much, and you were such a generous host. I thought, well, we must find out more about this fabulous venue, because you opened the Collingwood store in 2016, but you moved to Beechworth in 2004 to start your venue up there. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. So we had a restaurant in 2004 called Wardens, and I had it for 5 years. It was 5 years of full headache, I guess. It was very hard to run a country restaurant. Of course, I wouldn't do it anymore. But
why?
It's a bit tough with foot traffic and so on and so forth, but I think it was all driven by passion, and that's exactly what kept us going, I guess. Yeah. It was good, though. It was really good.
So you moved to Beechworth from Melbourne originally?
From Melbourne, yes, yeah.
And what was it that, you know, you went... I mean, we all know that Beechworth is a stunning area. I mean, that whole aspect of northeast Victoria is absolutely magnificent. What attracted you to... I mean, it's such a big move.
Well, it was a funny trip at the start, I guess, because I thought I was going to the beach somewhere.
Was it worth it? Was it beach worth it?
Yeah, very beach worth it. The only thing I could see was Lake St. Pelsine. Was a lake? Hang on a minute.
Was the lake a name of a cafe down the road?
It was bloody cold as well.
Hang on a minute.
What's going on? We're missing something here. Anyway, so my surfboard didn't really serve the purpose, no. I guess. But anyway, doing up and down, what attracted me to the area was the surrounding and the magnificent produce, I guess. Mm. And of course, the wine that I tasted at the start and said, oh, my God, this is second to none. How do I dig into more? So it's good.
Yeah, it is a beautiful area. And the produce, of course, that you fell in love with, you've started to now represent through the cafe and deli up there local producers, local farmers, small producers and things like that, which now you are bringing to people in Melbourne.
Correct, yes. There was a country meet the city sort of style, sort of hashtag, I guess, yeah, in his day and age. Yeah, so it was good to introduce some really small niche of producers to a small market in the city, I guess, yeah.
And now, of course, you travel between the two places because you're living in Melbourne now with your two kids and they're going to school here and running the restaurant in Collingwood as well.
That's right, yeah. I should be at the milestone with the Wigan Freeway, I guess, I should say.
At least it's not a tollway.
That's right.
So what kind of percentage of the produce at Project 49 in Collingwood comes from Beechworth?
Oh, good 80%, I guess.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, good 80%. I guess we can bring fish from up there, I guess, or some trout, I guess. I couldn't get there.
Yeah, there is trout, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. A great farmed trout in Hertville near Bright.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're operating in an area like that, you must be heavily dependent on the tourist trade.
Correct.
Talk about the seasonality of how you could run your business, because you'd be using local produce.
Correct.
And relying on tourists. So that's part of the complexity.
It is complex, yes, but it's fun. It just gives us an idea to use a bit of intellectual kind of flair when we come up with dishes. We follow the season, we follow the region.
And it takes 3 years.
Yeah, so for instance, during summer, tomatoes and great garlic, which has been just grown over the spring. Of course, grapes, table grapes, and of course, grapes that get into wine. Then you get into autumn, which is my favourite time of the year. You just go wildly in the forest and just get mushrooms of many types, I guess, including the funny ones.
I hope they don't make it on the menu.
No, they don't.
They're probably making it in the kitchen, though.
I should use it as a truffle gig, I guess. It's cost a lot.
The dessert you never forget.
Yeah,
generally speaking, people don't reveal their sources of the funny mushrooms. Well, they're highly kept secrets.
Well, if they get away with trippy taco, well, I can get away with trippy mushrooms, I guess.
True.
Right. We're all off to Beechworth this afternoon.
Well, let's go for a hike.
That's right.
So you've also got big dairy producers in the area.
Very much,
and
right.
other primary producers. So do you really draw on what you've got seasonality-wise, or do you make it up as you go along? How do you...
It works both ways. Right. I guess, you know, like sometimes we draw on it upon it, and sometimes it's just like... There's something new happening every day as well. Mm. Like olives in Northeast Victoria would never be... not even mentioned 10 years ago, but suddenly there's about 22 olive groves and 22 different labels. You know, so well, there you go. Well, what do I start now?
And how different are they?
Very different, yeah. Very. It's hard to pick the good one and the bad one, I guess. But all in all, because they're kind of young trees, and I'm a bit of a guru, I should say, on that, purely because I come from an area where I was surrounded by olive groves in Puglia.
That's right. In Puglia, there is an olive tree there that is reportedly 2,000 years old.
That's right.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So we were discussing olive trees. And, of course, because there's an incredible array of olive farms in northern Victoria these days, and there's a great similarity to Puglia, which is where you were from originally, and you were just saying that you arrived in Australia about 20 years ago. A failed relationship. Or was it failed? A relationship brought you to Australia.
That's right.
It failed miserably. And then, of course, you met your beautiful wife, Lisa.
That's right.
I'm probably truncating that story terribly. But... tell us a little bit more about Puglia, which is where you're from originally.
It's great. Great region, I must say. Not trying to beat my own chest here, but I still think it's an undiscovered territory, although everyone's now really talking about Puglia.
Well, I mean, I was reading recently that up until like 15 years ago, people were not going there. It's in the heel, for anyone who's not aware where Puglia is, it's in the heel of the boot of Italy.
Way to go, geography girl.
I know. I'm impressed.
Yes, well...
Looking through an atlas.
I used the Google machine to find that out. And, of course, the capital cities of Bari and Brindisi, which are also well-known port towns for leaving and travelling over to Morocco and things like that. But the 2,000 or maybe 3,000-year-old olive tree... that was planted by the Romans,
Don't let Bono near it, who'll write a song about it and bore us all to death. Tell us about this 2,000-year-old tree.
Well, look, it's majestic, not in terms of height, because they actually keep them very, very small.
Mm. So they trim it down.
Trim
it, right?
Yeah, well, every 10 years...
Well, multi-generations of people would have had to do that over 2,000 years.
No, we can't be just like David and Goliath up there, you know, it's like chalk and cheese. But it's really wide. And it's all like internoded as well. Like it's almost, it's like having four trees just like blended all together. And it's so beautiful to look at. And she'll Google that actually. Oh, okay, Google. What is it?
So the area of Puglia, as you mentioned, is just becoming, well, people are going there because it's off the beaten track, because they're, it's got all the beauty of Tuscany and it's got the beaches of the Amalfi Coast, but yet it's not as popular, it's less expensive.
Not at all.
There's a lot of reasons to go.
Yeah, well, look, I remember introducing Lisa to Puglia for the first time a few years ago, and we went out in the night with some friends, I think it was 20 of us, and sat in a restaurant about 9 o'clock at night, and we left at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the food, we just had to push it back. We asked for the bill and split it all, and it was only 18 euros. We looked at each other and said, oh, hang on.
It's ridiculous.
What have just missed here? 18 euro.
And because Lisa's from northern Italy, you were
correct,
saying.
Correct, yeah. She's, well, her father was, yeah.
Mm.
From San Daniele. As a matter of fact, it was Sergio, my father-in-law, that taught me how to make prosciutto, actually.
Because that's the whole
tradition. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what made that tradition... I can't pronounce the name of where they're from. Sorry.
San Daniele.
San Daniele.
Yeah. So in San Daniele, why did prosciutto become their thing?
Well, it's a very interesting question. geographically, if you look at it, if you Google map that actually, you'll see it's in the Nearly. It's in the centre of a valley which is surrounded by mountains, but there's a 45 degree gap which goes to no hills, goes straight down to the sea. So this sea breeze really helps aging and fermenting the lakes.
Ah.
But if you actually drive into the town of San Daniele, there's a beautiful town. Then on that side, just going out of town, all these prosciutto factories, they look like they're awkwardly, like they're just sitting on a different angle. And the reason is because you see shutters east and west. That's the only wind that it's allowed into the actual factories. Because if it was north and south, it wouldn't ferment as good as the east and west wind.
Right, so it uses the natural air off the Mediterranean.
That's right, off the Adriatic.
Dry the prosciutto.
That's right. So it's the only prosciutto that goes through four different fermentation in less than 1 year, which is like incredible.
Oh, I love that story. Yeah. I mean, if only you could do it in your own home. Like, you know, in Melbourne, open certain shutters.
No, well, that's why I built a shed like that back on the farm. People say, oh, that's the odd one out. I've got a reason for it. That's
We're making
presents. Come into my place and then you'll see.
So yeah. my research on Puglia this morning, and I was really fascinated by it, that the chefs there really know how to cook from the land, which is obviously what you've brought to Australia, that there was always, it's got a rich, vast history, and at a time when Puglia was very wealthy, there were lots of amazing buildings built there, and then in the hard times, the chefs really just had to go out to the land and pick whatever vegetables were on hand, and they've become experts at this. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, which is one of the main reasons why we've created Project 49. It's really because it's what's in our backyard today that goes on the plate. Yeah. And if there's no items in the garden that are going to make it into the cooking pots, and there's no point just doing it. Just create different dishes with a different story, I guess.
So is that foraging a part of your supply chain?
Very much so.
Yeah, right. We had Sasha Randall here, who was with Epoca, who they engaged a forager who would go to places, find...
I think we share the same one, actually.
Possibly. I've not met many people whose name is forager. Well, not name, as a career, it's forage or what they do. It's a fascinating thing, and there's the abundance that's available just throughout nature.
Yeah. And the fact that you take it back to how good our resources are and how seasonal they are. Mm. Like it's
so what's beautiful. Your favourite? What really inspires you?
In terms of food?
For forage food, the things that come off... The forage is back of the truck, I'm assuming.
It's just back of our backyard.
Exactly. Sour sobs? What kind of...
Saltbush. It's great.
Saltbush. Yeah. What do you use saltbush?
Saltbush just fried, actually. Like a light, nice little teaser.
Wow.
Sometimes.
Like, really?
Just quickly shallow fried, just like crunch. And, you can even just like put it like as it is, just... put it in a vegetable oil and fry it. Then you just close... Like my kids just put it in a bag full of salt, the shaker. And it's like they use it as salt,
like
sprinkled anyway. That's right, chips. You can even crunch it with your hands, just sprinkle it.
Saltbush chips.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, I'm intrigued. It's good. I'm down.
Hey, what's a brettier?
Brettier?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
BRATTERIER. Do you know what that is?
Bretteria.
That's it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it might be your pronunciation, Ross.
I know it's me. I can't speak Italian or French.
Okay.
We've got an Italian and a Frenchman in the room today.
I better go consult my Pugliese Google here.
Yeah, that's right. It's my insulting Australian accent that does nothing the way I want it to do.
So it's the Bratteria you're talking about.
Bratteria?
Bratteria. So okay. It's a many different accents. It's like another sort of a food source, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, like there were places where you do go for bakeries and so on and so forth. This is a place where you just go for only food that comes from a specific region and only food that comes from just about 5 kilometer radius, and that's it.
Right.
Like you just like, you become a little brat.
So really into the terroir.
That's right.
That. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's more into, not so much terroir, probably more into the microclimate.
Oh, okay.
Of it, rather than just climate or microclimate, I guess, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
God. Okay, so
I had no idea what this is.
This goes with wine as well. I mean, I'll take it back to what I enjoy the most, I guess. Does it sound like it might be said?
We just can't tell the listeners. It's amazing.
You get a wine that you enjoy, and you just can talk, and you really make people believe that is the greatest wine you'll ever have. But somehow it tastes better where it comes from, whether if it's in the cellar. So that's where this brattery come from.
Okay, I get the logic.
Anything else you've got from that very, very fulsome sheet of yours?
Primitivo wine is very big. Red, you like a red, yeah.
I do.
You like a red, Mark, I would imagine. And so
I like it all, Russ.
Yeah. Oh, you do. You like
rainbow wine.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, because Rocco, they have their own wine. You have your own wine that you produce. You don't have a winery, but you produce wine and then serve that, of course, at Project 49.
So it's a Chardonnay from Beechwood, which it's sourced with literally from a small block of land opposite our place.
Right.
So literally we just walk down the lane, go to the vineyard, pick grapes, back up again.
Nice.
That's it. Like very short scroll. And
now that was the Chardonnay that my friend said tasted like roast chicken.
That's right.
We had this conversation.
Wizardry.
I was sitting there sipping away and my girlfriend said, this wine reminds me of roast chicken. And indeed, then I was at another winery and they were suggesting roast chicken, of course, is one of the most delicious things you can have with Chardonnay.
That's right.
But how on earth do you get that? Where does that texture and that flavour come from in a glass of Chardonnay?
The chicken itself, that's a very good question.
it is a very good question.
I'll take it back. And I think we spoke sometimes, we often speak about neurogastronomy, and sometimes it's like, what does this smell remind me of?
That's right.
And it takes you back to a time and a place, of course. Yeah, so.
Are you planning to create a few other wines other than the Chardonnay?
I'd love to. Anytime soon, I'm not quite sure. It's a financial enterprise that I need to.
But at Project 49 in Melbourne, you do sell a large range of wines from the Beechworth area and
correct.
The King Valley.
That's right.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. And I would love to continue this conversation with Rocco Esposito from Project 49 in regards to the subject of wine. Now, Puglia itself, you were just saying, has more vineyards than any other part of Italy. That's an and it's a small area. That's an incredible fact.
Are they tiny, teeny vineyards?
No, they're quite big, some of them. But that said, look, you can have a vineyard at the back of your house there, really.
Yeah, that's true. So true.
So,
and we were talking about Lecce, which is one of the very popular smaller cities in the area, which is very, very beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I think in a nutshell, you could well say that Lecce is the Florence of the South.
Wow.
Florence, it's such a beautiful city, I guess. You know, everyone goes there. I mean, the beauty about Florence is you can go there and speak English these days. Like, no matter where you're in Lecce, it's still taken back to the original state. But the architecture in that Lecce, that Baroque feel, is just amazing.
It really is famous for that, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
What I was really fascinated by is, the GLBTI community have spent an inordinate amount of time hanging out at places like Mykonos and Lesbos and Ibiza. And the new ish place to be, if you're looking for something a little bit more bohemian and if you're a bit scruffy around the edges, is to go to Puglia and to hang out on the beautiful beaches down at Lecce and surrounding. And what was beautiful about the stories I was reading today, and I'm sure you'll be able to confirm this, Rocco, is the our community is so beautifully accepted in that region.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I remember growing up there, of course, and just that's just normal. And when this Yes campaign came along, you know, I said, God, it's just waking up these people.
Western Sydney.
So, okay, well, it's a yes, okay. But it's beautiful. It's a free sort of area. There's no There's no print concert. There's no if and buts. There's no black and white. We're just all in for a great course at the end. It's really good. It's comfortable to walk in and out the region.
Yeah, sounds great. And so if you were, say, if you were going to take the three of us down there on a tour, what would you recommend? So I do like history. And
you don't drink?
No, I don't drink.
So you're not coming? It's all right.
You just invite us.
I'm the nerd of the group.
Hang on. Come. We'll need a driver.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I happily drive the drugs. I don't mind. I don't really don't mind. So, you know, and these two, oh, my God. You are in for a trip.
I don't mind the taste of wine.
But where would we go? What restaurants would you recommend? What museums and so on? What would you suggest? So, and, of course, what beaches?
The museums, that's a point. I don't think there's museums in Puglia. Like, it's everywhere you go, it's everything gets surrounded by historical centres. No, it's free to walk in.
You're living in a museum in Puglia.
That's exactly right. You're part of the mosaic in that case. Where would I take you? I think the first town I will take you, it's a little place called Alberto Bello, where it's probably one of the first 10 oldest cities in the world, and the houses are called Trulli. They're pointy shaped, and it's all white on the base, and then just like there's little granite stones that just point towards the sky. And there's a way of insulating these places that there's no fireplace, there's no heating and cooling. In summer, it's fresh, and in winter, it's hot. So how good is that, talking about renewable energy? I think they should go back there and learn a bit of architecture.
Yeah, exactly. In
terms of other towns, Polignano, it's very, very good, which is a town literally built on a cliff. Inland, literally on the edge of Puglia and Basilicata, there's the oldest town one of the oldest towns in the world called Matera, which is a town just built in a mountain. There's holes everywhere, which now are apartments or houses, I guess. But many, many years ago, those holes were basically natural bakeries. Because the rocks were just... Imagine like going to Vietnam, and they've got these holes just going down the ground.
Yes.
Well, these holes just go straight up, and there's a natural flute. The best bread in Italy comes from Matera. So
the heat channels straight up.
That's right.
The best bread in Italy.
That's a big claim.
People
that just drive.
For
just
a country that likes their carbs.
Well, you know, the so-called bruschetta, the bread, there has to be from Matera, otherwise there's no point in making it. There's no point in just putting a Salvador and just put tomatoes on it. It'll become soggy stuff.
Now, Fiona's a vegetarian.
Well, it's all right.
So where are you going to take her?
I'm sure she'll...
We say the same thing.
She'll drive as well.
For your peace of mind, Lisa's vegetarian, and the best place to take you is my mum's place. She's a very good cook.
Well, it was good to know that vegetables were hero at Project 49.
Yep.
So keep that in mind for those vegetarian friends.
That's right.
And where else would you love to take us while we were there?
Ostuni, the White City.
The White City.
That's right. It's just completely white. There's no... You can't find any signs or anything like that. Even the freeway signs turning white every time you go there.
Is it the soil or the...
No, it's like... there was a Greek person many, many years ago that just like wanted to... He basically established himself in there, and it reminded him of Greece, and all he did just painted his house white. I'm talking about thousands of years ago now.
Yeah, you're right.
And then, of course, everyone said, oh, you're going to do exactly the same and exactly the same, and the town outgrew.
So it's the style.
It's just completely white. But what's pretty about that is the sea. It's apparently, as they say, it's voted from the EU. It's the cleanest sea in Puglia. And as a matter of fact, if you were to Google a picture in Ostuni, you'll see white buildings on one side and an incredibly indigo blue water. And you're going to say, I want to dive in there. And what else would I take you? I will probably take you fishing.
Oh, see, as I'm getting older, these are the things I want to do. I want to go fishing, just see urchin
mussels and just sit on the beach and just get hot focaccias and that's it. That's your breakfast with a beer. Of course.
Okay.
I'll drink the beer. No, you can't drink, can
that's
you?
Right.
Breakfast beer.
The odd one out.
Breakfast of champions.
It does sound truly magnificent. Absolutely. And I think the thing about Puglia is that the regions are where most people travel to. They don't go there to be in the capital cities. So there's so much to explore and taste and try, and you can go and hug the 2,000 or 3,000-year-old olive tree.
That's right.
So is it still producing olives?
Absolutely.
And so what are the olives like? They'd be mature.
Well, I haven't really tasted those olives, but I think they're all going into one bundle of olives just to make olive. But it's now a new EU law that splits the oldest trees with the newest one, I should say, and they will give that older the olive oil that comes from the older tree a different appellation system, so called. So the oil is very good, though. Look at my skin.
Yeah, right.
You're very olive. You made it. I can vouch for that. I got into the lift and I went, oh, who's this good-looking fella? Anyway, moving right along.
Very awkward.
And then you proceeded to insult him by calling his
hometown Puglia, or his hometown
Puglia.
Now, we must also, it comes to this time of the show where we do need to talk about what it's like, is it legal to be a member of the GLBTI community initially? And the good news is, and they were very progressive, these Italians, same-sex activity has been legal since, would you believe, drum roll, 1887.
Wow. You know, that so is you, really you know, a
you
milestone.
Guys, you guys are out there having a good time in 1887. I don't think what was his name, Edgar Allan Poe? No, it's not, who was the gay poet?
I'm letting you go on this, Russ.
Yeah, I'm going right out the window. So, but yeah, Oscar Wilde mm-hmm. should have lived in
Fancy Pants.
Yeah, Mr. Fancy Pants should have lived in Italy. But 1887, they don't have marriage equality yet, but they have had civil unions since 2016. So you can go there and have a civil union, but clearly a very Catholic country, they're not quite ready for the big step to marriage equality. So there's your drill there.
And it won't be long, exactly. And we do have a new subscriber, Alex. Now, Alex, you subscribed this morning, and I'm not sure if you're still tuning in, but we hope you are. Alex from West Melbourne, thanks for joining the Joy family.
It's very easy to join. You can just call up or you can go on the website. For a family, it's $124 a year. An individual, $84 a year. Russ, for concession, it's $42 a year. Mm-hmm. It's all amazing. If you're under 18. Well, if you're under 18, it's $22.
Oh, so what a bug.
You could, yeah. Hmm? You could, how many times do you have to times 18 to make a few?
Quite a few.
Not-for-profits can join for $165 and businesses $300 a year. So, Alex, thank you very much for joining. Alex from West Melbourne.
Now, Mark, we're coming to that special time of the show where we
need... Is it Russ's rant?
No, it's not the rant. We've got a special question we ask our guests each week. Now, you will be very interested about this because you travel a lot. Are you a folder or a roller?
We're talking about packing your bags, not toilet paper.
I'm very much a folder.
Okay. Yep, a folder.
Oh,
yep.
There you go. All unfortunately, right. We're taking this poll, but we keep forgetting to write down who says what, so we have no idea what the numbers are going to stack up in the next 12 months.
We'll make that up, but statistically we're much better with in-flight shagging.
You know, on my last trip, I went away with just a tote.
Right.
Now, it was a tiny tote. I've never been away from a tote. I would get excited every time my tote would come off the belt. And it weighed 12 kilos.
Why didn't you put it overhead?
I did sometimes. Sometimes I decided to pack it under because I had another case with my little
fanny pack
laptop in. But, you know, a tote's a tote. You got to go with a tote.
I do like travelling light. Yeah. I get really frustrated when I'm travelling with with a friend who has a huge bag, which means that I have to queue for their huge bag at the end, which really annoys me. So
just wear it all on the plane.
I just travel light.
Look like Michelin Man.
I think that what we've done is we've discovered, I've been fascinated to hear about Puglia because
I want to go.
Poor man's Italy, apparently. It was originally considered.
Not anymore.
We know it's an absolute destination. And if you want to, of course, get a sense of that, you can just pop down to Project 49 in Collingwood or visit Rocco and Lisa in Beechworth.
Now, you can fly to Italy at the moment for around about $1,100.
Steal.
It's insane. You need to go and see your local travel agent and they will get you there for next to a bargain. And we'd have what airport would they fly into for Puglia?
Bari,
okay. Yeah. So put that on your list, folks. If you want to go to the new gay mecca of Europe, you've got to go to Puglia and fly into Bari.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Rocco. We've really appreciated you coming down on a busy Saturday. No doubt the venue will be busy right now and you probably want to get back to that.
Tomorrow, there's plenty to do when I get back.
Yes, absolutely.
Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, you've been a great guest. I want to go to Puglia now. I'm right into it.
Oh, I'm into it.
Yeah, I've got my budgie smugglers ready to go. I'm just going to go down there with the tote and get into it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.